Let's turn together to Psalm 46 for our scripture reading tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Genesis 6. Genesis 6. I want you to look down in verse 8. We're going to talk about Noah. Noah, a type of Christ. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it in within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third stories, shalt thou make it. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to teach tonight, if God would enable me, of just a little while, to talk about Noah being a type of Christ. And you look back in verse 29 of chapter 5 and see what his name means. And he called his name Noah. Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now you look in the margin and it says Noah, his name means rest or comfort. Rest or comfort. And he came to give rest and comfort to his mother and his father. That's what his name meant. He came to give rest, to give comfort. And without anybody could understand that our Lord Jesus Christ came as the consolation of Israel. He came to be our comfort, to be our rest. He himself says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest for your souls. And it says, he that hath ceased from his own works hath entered into his rest. As God ceased from his works, we cease from ours, and we enter into the rest of Christ. So he came to be our comfort, came to be our rest. And our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, as he read tonight, there is a city, there is a river, and God is our refuge, and out of that place of refuge a river flows, and that river comes through Christ, that blessed river of rest and comfort and assurance and all the salvation that we need. And this is the thing, oh, to be able to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ entirely and completely. I'm afraid not to rest in Him. I know that there's no rest in this world. I know there's no comfort in this world, but just very little. But there's no rest in this world, none whatsoever. And we read tonight, I believe it was James that read tonight out of Isaiah 11, said his rest shall be glorious. His rest shall be glorious. And then it says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 8, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he find grace, and I shouldn't say found grace, the scripture says he was full of grace. In fact, all grace is in our Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God himself says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, how much more would his son? How much more his son? Not only would he receive grace, but he was full of grace. And if you and I get any grace, it's got to come out of the fullness of Christ. It's got to come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians 1:3. Let's look at that together. Ephesians 1:3. You know where I'm going with this. But oh my, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and it's with Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to what he has to say. No man's going to come to me except by him. I don't want to speak to nobody, don't want nobody to speak to me apart from him. And look what he said here in verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He chose us in him, one of the blessings before the foundation of the world. He blessed us that we should be holy and without blame. In love, he predestinated us to the adoptions of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So if Noah found grace, imagine how much grace our Lord Jesus Christ has. And I told Shirley on the way here tonight, she said, "I'm praying for you. Pray the Lord bless you." And I said, "I appreciate that, but I tell you this, if God ever blesses me in any way, preaching, praying, or whatever I do, he has to do it for Christ's sake. He'll never find any reason to bless me in myself. Never has, and he never will. I don't care what I do, what I say, or where I go, or how I act. How dedicated or committed I may be, or how undedicated or committed. If I ever get a blessing in preaching or get a blessing from God in any way, he's got to bless me for Christ's sake, because he can never bless me for myself." Now, ain't that right? And that's what he says. Noah found grace, and we find grace. We're at in the Beloved. God gives us grace in Christ. And you know when he gave us this grace in Christ? Before the world began. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. That's pretty comforting, ain't it? That's pretty comforting. And not only that, but look what it says in verse 9 here, talking about him being as a type of Christ. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Oh, he was just and perfect. And as a man, if he was just and perfect, imagine what our Lord Jesus Christ is. Oh my, no one is as just as our Lord Jesus Christ. No one was as perfect as our Lord Jesus Christ. He was just in all of his dealings with men, just in all of his dealings with God. Perfect in all of his dealings with God, and perfect in all of his dealings with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Lo, I come to do thy will. Yea, I delight to do thy will." Paul said this in Hebrews chapter 7, that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. And oh my, as Noah was just and perfect, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I asked this. They one time, they began to accuse him of this, that, and the other. And he said, "Which of you can convince me of sin? Who has anybody ever seen me that I ever, ever mistreated anybody with my words, with my actions, with my dealings, with my attitude, or with my actions? Or where did I take a step that wasn't just? Where did I take a step that wasn't perfect? You know, there they've got these stories about books that post they found is supposed to talk about what Christ was like as a child. And one of them said something about he may, you know, no doubt stumped his toe when he was a child. Don't believe a minute of it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, if he bumped his toes, that means he wasn't perfect. I tell you what, in fact, you know what? When Satan says, you know, listen, I'll give you this world, I'll feed you when you're hungry and all this. And our Lord said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And here's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He was, who in the world has ever been as just? Has he ever been unjust to you or me? Has he ever mistreated us in any way? Has he not always treated us perfect? Is not his will perfect? Oh my, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And then look what it said again in verse 9. Not only was just, though a just man and perfect in his generations. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect in his generations, and all the generations that he saved by his grace, they're perfect. That's what I preached up at Paul's last Wednesday night. Perfection in Christ. Perfect in Christ. Complete in Christ. And look what it says here now. It said, and he walked with God. Noah walked with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he walked before God. In fact, before the world was where he ever come into this world, he walked before his Father. He was his Father's delight. He was his Father's joy. He was his Father's blessed, glorious Son, and he delighted in him. He was the glory of heaven itself. And then when he came to this earth, he said, I and my Father are one. Everything that I do, my Father does, and everything my Father does, I do. Every word he says, I say. Every action he does, I do. When you talk about God, you're talking about me. Me and my Father are one. Not only do I walk with him, but we are one in will, in purpose, in aim, in goal, in grace, in salvation. We're together. We walk together. And oh, our God, me and my Father. He said, I in you and you in me. One with his Father and all the purposes of God in this world. Oh, my. And I tell you what, if Noah walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, how much more did our Lord Jesus Christ walk with his Father? In fact, when you watched our Lord Jesus Christ walk, and you was watching God walk, you was watching the steps of the Father. If the Father would have been here and it assumed flesh like Christ did, he would have walked every place our Lord Jesus Christ did. Because I tell you, when he was here, he walked perfectly, walked with his Father. He is one with the Father. And here's another thing about Noah. Look down verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them, the people, with the earth. But he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion that you shall make it. And what this tells us is that Noah had the will of God revealed to him. God's will was revealed to Noah. Nobody else in that generation. Nobody else did God speak to. Nobody else did God reveal his will to. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, he was in the bosom of the Father. He hath come and declared him out. He come to declare God and do the will of God. And God's will, if you and I know anything about God's will, we're going to see it in his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I came from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And you know what he said, the will of him that was to send me? That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And the will of God's revealed in him, and the will of salvation is revealed in Christ. He said, I'm the way. Adam lost the way. He went and hid from God. Christ is the way. Adam denied the truth of God. Christ said, I am the truth of God. Adam lost the life of God. Christ said, I am God's life. And oh, listen, oh, the way of salvation was, and listen, the will of God was made known to him. The ark was a revelation from God, and this was the way that God was going to save Noah and his family through this ark. And God says that there's no, and this, if I had an opportunity, and I've told you this before, if I had an opportunity to preach to a great, great, great big crowd one of these days, what I would preach is, from John 14 and 6, that no man, our Lord says, no man can come unto me, unto the Father, but by me. And now there's salvation, but there's salvation no place else but in Christ. Said, we can't come, I don't want nobody to come, you can't come to the Father but by me. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'm life, and if you have life, I've got to give it to you. If you know God, I got to make you know him. If you know the will of God, I got to reveal it to you. And he says, when the Holy Spirit's come, he's not going to talk of himself. He's going to take the things of mine and show them unto you. Oh, my. And not only that, but he came to manifest the name of God. He said, Father, I manifested your name unto these men. They know you. How do they know you? Through me. Through me. Oh, and he spoke not his own words, but the word of God the Father. And oh, Noah had the will of God revealed to him. Christ is the will of God. He's not just revealed. He is the will of God. He's the will of God in everything, in every way. People say, boy, I sure would love to know the will of God. Well, I can tell you what it is. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Will of him that sent me. You want to know God's will? Know Christ. His will's in Christ. His will of salvation, his will of purpose, his will of eternity. And oh, listen to what else happened in verse 14. He prepared the way of salvation in verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. You see, not only that, beloved, he had the will of God revealed to him. He prepared the way of salvation. He made the ark. That's just the way of salvation. Christ himself is salvation. Christ is made for us. Look at Hebrews 10:20. Look at this in Hebrews 10:20. You know, I quote this, but let's look at it. Let's look at it together. Hebrews 10:20. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he prepared the way of salvation. Christ has made for us a new and a living way. Look what he says in verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where payment or remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, freedom to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Under the law, men didn't have freedom. They didn't have liberty to come into the presence of God. They had to have a priest, they had to have a sacrifice, and they had to have blood. And here he says, now we, brethren, have this liberty to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. You got to have blood. And look what he says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated or newly made for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And so we have a high priest over the house of God. Let's draw near. Let's draw near. And so you see that Noah prepared the ark of salvation, the way of salvation, and the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the way of salvation. And then he finished the work given to him. Look down verse 22. He finished the work that was given to him. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. God gave him something to do and he did it. He finished it. He finished. Thus did Noah according to all. He left nothing undone. And he finished it completely. It was the place where salvation is going to be, and it was complete, and it was perfect, and it would save him and his family. He left nothing undone. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I have finished the work that thou sent me to do. And, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And he says, must I not be about my Father's business? And our Lord Jesus Christ, the last work, words that he said on the cross were, the last words that he said, it is finished. Done. Done. It didn't say it's almost finished. Need your help. He didn't say, well, I'll finish it one of these days. He said, when it was finished, it was finished. And I tell you what, whether you and I believe it, our believing it didn't make it finished. Our believing didn't make it finished. Our believing did not make the work of Christ complete. Christ's work was complete and finished before you and I ever believed. And God sent the gospel to us so we'd understand that the work is done. It's finished. And when something's finished, it's like a man. If a fella, you know, he builds a building and he said it's turnkey. And I say, no, no, it's not. It's not. Does that mean that the fella didn't do the work? No, no. And I tell you what, people say, well, Christ finished it, but we have to believe. Christ finished it, but we have to work. Christ finished it, but we got to go to the altar. Listen, Christ finished it, and all we have to do is believe it. Rest in it. He finished the covenant. He finished sin. He finished the Father's will. He finished death. He finished everything that was against us. He finished it and it's over and done with. He satisfied God. He glorified God. And oh my, it's finished. And then I'll show you in verse chapter 7, verse 1. Look what, his work was effectual. His salvation was effectual. The salvation that Noah had, it was effectual. Look what he said in chapter 7 in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark. And all thus did Noah. His salvation was complete. It was sufficient for himself. And the Lord says, Noah, come in. And down in verse 7, look what it says in chapter 7. And Noah went in. And Christ finished salvation. You know, it's salvation. He didn't need salvation for himself. And Noah entered in. And the great, great work that our Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that he accomplished for us, brings glory and honor to his holy name. And beloved, we enter in. We enter in. And when God says, come, that means he's in there with him. Oh, it was salvation was effectual. That ark was finished, and it was sure. And then it was for his house. He said in verse 1 again, the Lord said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark. And our Lord Jesus Christ has a house. Hebrews 6 says, whose house? Or Hebrews 3 said, whose house we are. And a house means all your generation and all your family. And we are Christ's family. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. When he says they're coming, they're coming. And he says, come down into the ark. God says, come. And we come. And he said, also this, he'll bring many, many sons unto glory. And the household of faith, every single one of them will be saved. There won't be one. Everybody that was meant to be in that ark, you know who was in it? Every single one of them. And everyone who's meant to be in Christ, they'll all be there. Every single one of them. There won't be one that's not there. One's not there. And then I tell you what, not only was it salvation for him, salvation for his house, but for all things, all everything that was in that ark. And you go down through there and read about all the things that were taken in there, every clean beast and all the people that, and all the souls that were in there and all the animals that were in there. And that ark passed over the flood into a new world. And a world purged of all the violence, purged of all the sin, and purged of all the violence and all the wickedness of man on the earth. And oh, and God remembered, and God was there with him, and all things shall yet, as everything was destroyed and everyone was saved in this ark, God, one of these days, is going to put everything under the feet of Christ. When our Lord comes, mark it down, he's going to put down every enemy. He's going to put down every enemy, and the last enemy that's going to be put under his feet is death. He said he would put all things under his feet. And oh, he's the head of the church and all principalities and powers and everything but his redeemed and all of his elect, everything in this world just be swept away. And we're going to go to a new heaven and a new earth. And Noah come out in a new earth. Come out on resurrection ground. Come out on resurrection ground. And then look what it says in chapter 8 and verse 1. And then God remembered him. God remembered him. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the earth was assuaged. God remembered Noah and all that was with him. Oh my. I tell you, God will never ever forget his son and the people that's in his blessed son. As he remembered Noah, and he watched over Noah all through that flood, all through that judgment that fell on the earth. God remembers his son and all of his elect and everyone that's in his son. They're in him, and they're in the ark of his saving grace. And God said, Malachi, I might have preached on that several months ago or a year or two ago, that God says that he looked down and everyone who spoke of him and feared him, he had a book of remembrance. He had a book of remembrance. And like that thief, he said, Lord, remember me when I come into your kingdom, when you come into your kingdom. And I tell you, I know this for a fact. There may be a day when you and I won't remember our name, won't remember who we are or where we are or nothing about it. May not remember our children. May not remember you. If you saw Brother Mahan right now, you'd say, I'd have never dreamed Brother Mahan would be in that condition. Had to get a hold of a man's arm just to get out of his chair and be pulled up. The man's got enough, had to have enough strength to pull him up and then has to walk him. And he comes to every servant. Got to walk him up the steps and put the arm behind him and stand right behind him. Get him up the steps. And we get frail. And if you go into a coma or something like that and you don't know God and you don't remember who you are and who your family is and who your sons and daughters is, but you know who remembers you? He remembers you. He knows exactly where you're at. In fact, he says, if our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his holy name, he entered into an everlasting covenant, and he ordered in all things ensure. And this is all our salvation. And it doesn't care, I may get to where I don't know nothing, but one thing I know, he always knows me. Do you know, this is how great and glorious our God is. You know how many people of his elect have died over the years, over the centuries and over the centuries and over the centuries. And every one of them that passed, the Lord Jesus Christ has got their spirits in glory with him right now. They're enjoying him. The spirits of just men made perfect in heaven. But he knows where every single one of their bodies is. And it's but dust. Dust. And he'll put, as just like he took Adam out of the dust and made a man, he knows where all his people are and all the dust are. And if he took Adam, made him out of dust, don't you think he can get us back up out of the dust and bring us back? Huh? Oh, my. God remembered Noah. God remembers us. He'll never forget us. You know why? He said, I've written you in the palms of my hands. A mother may forget her sucking child, but I'll never forget you. Never. Written you on the palms of my hand. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord, how wonderfully kind, how wonderfully gracious, how wonderfully patient you are. And I thank you for your mercies. Oh, they're new every morning, new every morning. Thank you for your compassions. I thank you for your grace. It's always sufficient, always sufficient. God bless these dear saints as they go their way, as they go home, go to their jobs, raise their families. Lord, bless them. And Lord, their families that they want to see converted, brought to faith in Christ, pray for them. Pray for mine, and I pray for Shirley's, and I pray for all that's represented here. We have so many unconverted among us, these young people, these children, these young folks. Oh, Lord, touch their hearts while they're yet young. Speak to them while they're yet children. Bring them to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let them find their rest in Him. These teenagers that come, oh, Lord, speak to them. Please speak to them, oh, Lord. Save them before they go out into the world and get so involved in sin and in the world. And, oh, Lord, while they're still here, they're still coming, God, speak to them through the gospel. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.